I put some extra pictures up in the slideshow this Sunday with sheep. And here's a little picture. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Today we observe Good Shepherd Sunday. Often in other denominations, they observe it closer to the Easter season. And it's considered one of many Easter celebrations. The idea is that the Lord will shepherd us. And this is a beautiful concept, so don't miss this. Shepherd us through all of our days, bringing comfort to us when we are in times of sorrow, and sharing with us in joy when we have times to celebrate. I'm often perplexed, though, as to why God would choose sheep to compare us to. Sometimes in the Bible, he compares people to fish, and other times to swine, especially when they're thinking too highly of themselves. But the most common reference, analogy of who we are is a sheep. And of course, I have some ideas and facts, you know, of why I think that might be so from the Bible and from study and research. But I did some extra research this week, and I was reminded that sheep are mentioned in the Bible more than 500 times. That's kind of a lot, don't you think? Excessive. They're mentioned more than any other animal. The prominence of sheep in the Bible, it seems to me, has two different priorities. The first is that sheep were very important if we look back and understand the people of the area of Israel and Jerusalem and of course in the surrounding regions, which is where many of our Bible stories take place. And they lived as nomads with an agricultural life. And they were similar to other nomadic peoples, and sheep were able to be nomadic with them. They could wander around and follow them and go wherever they led them, and that was their means of livelihood. Second, sheep were used in the Bible to symbolically refer to God's people, and listen to this, who need a shepherd. Yes, and we need fans. Anybody want to? Yeah. You know what? The youth could do a fundraiser next week and sell fans. We'd make money. Anyway, okay. If we go back to Genesis, anybody read the Bible recently? Have you been in Genesis? That's the very first book of the Old Testament. And we find the story of Cain and Abel. Have you ever heard of them? They're two brothers, right? And Abel is keeping the flocks, all right? So what do you think Abel does for a living?
Shepherd.
He's the shepherd. He's the very first shepherd ever mentioned in the Bible. And Cain works the soil. And it says in the Bible, in the course of time, Cain brought fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering. He brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. So we also are introduced in the beginning of Genesis, way back when, with Cain and Abel, the idea of sacrifice of lambs and sheep unto the Lord. Unfortunately, Abel also was slain by his brother Cain and ended up being our very first murder victim in the scriptures. Other shepherds in the book of Genesis include Abraham and Moses, which you may know that. King David was the best known shepherd of biblical history. He loved being a shepherd even more than being king, and I think he was better at it personally, but he wrote the beloved Psalm 23 that Mary just read for us. It's one of our most favorite and attributed parts of scripture, and most memorized and well-known than almost any other part of Scripture. It brings comfort to us to know that the Lord is our shepherd. If we go into the New Testament, we remember at Jesus' birth. Does anybody remember Christmas stories? Usually we only talk about them at Christmas, but we're going to revisit them next week. But the one thing about shepherds in the Christmas story is that they are the first people who get to see the newborn baby besides Mary and Joseph. Our New Testament passage from John today quotes Jesus as saying, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." The Bible gives us very explicit examples of close relationships between shepherds and their sheep. They know them, and they know them well, and they follow them. And the sheep trust that the shepherd will protect them. Animals, when we consider them, as Mary mentioned in her children's sermon, we didn't even talk about this, but we said the same thing, can instantly recognize the voice of a familiar, trusted person. Sheep in particular have excellent memories for faces. They actually have restated that sheep are no longer considered dumb, right? Because for a lot of years, everybody said, oh, sheep are the least intelligent of all animals. They've now changed that around. And they said, no, sheep have certain qualities that might actually make them somewhat smart. So that might give us a little bit of a boost since we're considered sheep versus any other animal. So anyway, and one of the things that makes them smart is that they can recognize a face anywhere. And they also recognize a voice. Due to the strong flocking instinct and failure to act independently one from the other, sheep often, as I have said, have been labeled stupid. But sheep are not stupid for flocking. If you study the behavior more closely, you realize that their only protection from predators, right, is to bundle up together because they're rather soft and docile creatures. And so unless they all are together, then the predator would not be threatened by them. But if they band together, there is no time to act independently and all will be safe. When I first went to Israel, I was completely surprised because in my head, I grew up as a, suburbanite North American, right? So when I think of sheep, I think of them grazing where? Like in big grassy fields, right? Because my other heritage comes from Ireland, where they have big green hills that are very lush because it rains over there all the time, right? Well, when you go to Israel and you look at the Palestinian area, the landscape is not full of vibrant hills of grass. Instead, there are little bushes, and then there's patches of grass every so often. So the shepherd over there would have to move the flock from place to place to find enough sustenance to feed their sheep. They would often end up far, far away from where they actually lived and had to provide safety for them. And how the shepherd would do that would be to find a cave. And he would take all the sheep in there. And how he would do it is, and I hate to use the word he all the time, but most of the shepherds in the Palestinian area happen to be male, but he would spread his legs apart, and as the sheep would walk through, he would feel them with his hands and his legs to make sure there were no sores and there was nothing sticking in them or hurting them, and he took care of every single one of them that went through the small entrance that he had made with thorns and branches to protect them. And then, of course, late at night, he would sleep right in front of the only way in to make sure that nobody could get in and hurt any of his sheep. The shepherd truly knows the sheep and protects them in every way. Personally, I love sheep. My sister, one time when she was little, said she really thought the sheep that was on the side of the road or something or at a farm was cute. And so next thing you know, we decided she should collect them. So now my sister Kathy, even though she doesn't even want them, has tons and tons and tons of sheep. And even when her first baby was expected due, I found this most beautiful 6 foot, by 3 foot sheep, and I brought it to her as a, a baby present. She was like, "You've got to be kidding!" And so now she has this big, huge stuffed sheep. But I've always loved them, and I think I love them for a couple of reasons, not just because of the biblical understanding of them. But I will say that one of the stories always has resonated in my heart. In the stories of Jesus, the one where there's the lost sheep, right? He has 100 of them. He knows them all by name. And one time, one of them disappears. Now, we average in church probably 60 to 80 people a Sunday. We probably have how many Okora today? 52 today, okay, plus kids. But, so 52, you're half of 100, okay? So add another 52 people in, and just to know that one of them is missing. For example, Dave Carlson has left the room, right? Did he leave entirely? Dave? Anyway, I don't know. I was actually going to use it as a joke, but I don't. Anyway, yeah, no, he's outside. Okay. Anyway, so Dave Carlson's not here, so I know when one of 52 is missing, right? But to know one of 100 is missing, that's pretty intense, right? You'd have to know everybody really, really well. And the other thing is, to me, sheep kind of look alike. I mean, now, obviously, the ones on the stage, they're kind of different, right? But most of the time, when you look out at a sheepfold, you see that they kind of look similar. So how do they know that one is missing, right? But the shepherd that Jesus is talking about in the story knew. And not only did he know that one was missing, but you remember what he did? He left all 99 to flock together and take care of themselves, and he went looking for the one lost sheep. And when he found him, he picked him up and carried him home. The Bible tells a lot of stories about sheep, and I could go on and on and on and on and teach you about them, but it's kind of warm in here, and I know we have bowling to go to and other things. But I want to get back to the fact that God talks to us and says we are similar to sheep. Think about how they flock together to be protected, right? How do we know we're safe in this world? It's hard sometimes to be alone. I think I've shared before that a friend of mine, when she went to Germany, her husband was deployed to Afghanistan, so she was in Germany by herself, and everybody spoke German. I mean, I've used this story many times. You're going to know it well because it's one of my favorites. But she said when she was over there, she was a real church-going woman. And when she was over there, everybody spoke German, and so she didn't know it yet well enough to feel like it was church. So when she went in and sat down, she said she felt like an orphan because she did not have a church family. When I think of how we flock together to be the community of God, to be his people, to be family, to be brothers and sisters with each other, to know well enough whether somebody's missing. And I'll tell you what, Jim Ryan is a very good shepherd, right? Because he'll call you up on the phone if you miss church and say, where were you? Not to get attendance, right, Jim? But to ask if you are okay. And there's something beautiful about having a family, a church family, that notices when you're not here and appreciates when you are. And we can become a flock. The other behavior patterns of sheep that I'm okay to say we're similar to is that we can get lost easily. Did you ever notice that? I mean, think about it. We're supposed to pray and bless our food before every meal. I mean, the Bible tells us to do that, right? But how many of us remember to do that? Especially when we go out to eat, right? And we're at McDonald's or somewhere quick and we're just supposed to grab and go. Now, I'm sure there's probably a lot of you who always pray, so I'm not picking on you necessarily, but I'm just saying, we can easily forget, oh, wait, I have to check my cell phone. Wait, I have to do this. Wait, I have to do that. And next thing you know, you forgot to pray, right? I mean, have you ever done that? Maybe once, twice, even if, you know, or maybe not. I don't know. But sometimes we wander away, kind of exploring. And if you think about a sheep, they go a little bit forward and they chomp on some food, right? And then they kind of wander away again and chomp some more. So it's not like we kind of just dive in, you know, and get stuck in nowhere land. We wander away from God. We get lost. But the beautiful thing of the scriptures is, as I shared with you the story of the 100 sheep, is that Jesus is going to come to you wherever you are. And he's going to pick you up and ask you to come home, whether you want to or not. Oh, Dave Carlson's back. Hi, Dave. Yeah, I noticed you were missing. I was just telling them. Anyway. So I say to this, in the midst of our lostness and darkness, our pain and our grief, when we cry or moan or scream or bleat as a sheep would, the shepherd hears us and comes after us. And as Psalm 23 says, the goodness and the mercy of the Lord shall follow you all the days of your life. One of the reasons Sunday worship is so important is that it helps to build our sense of community so that we can be a family to each other, so that we know when somebody might be wandering away, or so that we might know when somebody's missing. And so it's important that you show up. And what would be beautiful is that nobody in our midst would be a stranger, that everybody would be known. And it takes a little bit more than coming on Sundays, and you know I often say this. It'd be great if you got more involved. And there are ways to do that. There are Bible studies. There are fellowship times, like bowling today. There is also meals. Breaking bread together in the Bible is a very important opportunity. There's also service and mission where we can reach out to those in need. I have a story to share. There was once a shepherd that lived in the Scottish Highlands. The shepherd had a daughter, and he would take her with him when he went out onto the moors to take care of the sheep. The thing that the little girl liked best was to hear the call of the shepherd. His voice sounded free and beautiful as it carried across the valleys of the moors. And as the years passed, the little girl became a beautiful young woman and went off to one of Scotland's greatest cities, Edinburgh. It was there that she became determined to build her own life. On her arrival, she would write back home to her parents every week, letting them know of her adventures. But as life began to take her by the hand, her letters soon dropped off, and her frequency of communication became less and less. Rumors began to filter back to her parents, the shepherd and his wife, that their daughter had started hanging out with maybe some unsavory characters. One day, one of the boys from back home ran into her in the city streets, and she acted as if she did not even know him. When the old shepherd heard this, he gathered a few of his things together, dressed in his rough shepherd's clothes, and went to the big city of Edinburgh to find his daughter. For days on end, he looked for her. He looked everywhere. He even went to the area of the town that was not wealthy and a little bit scary, and to the slums and the row houses, the markets and the taverns. And he never found her. One day he became very discouraged, thinking that he might have lost his daughter forever. And as he started his trek back home, feeling defeated and sad, he remembered how his daughter loved to hear the shepherd's call. So he turned around, and on this quest, motivated by sorrow and by love, he started again to stalk the streets and rang out his shepherd's call. The citizens of the city all looked at him as if he had gone crazy. It wasn't too long as he walked the streets of one of the degraded neighborhoods, but inside one of those houses, his daughter sitting alone next to those unsavory characters who had led her astray, heard the shepherd's voice. With great astonishment on her face and a tug on her heart, she heard the call of the voice of her father. She leapt up and rushed out into the street and ran directly into his arms. And he took her back home to the Highlands. The shepherd knows our voice, and we know his. And I tell you, my friends, he is calling for now and forevermore. Amen.